David Bullock, Cophurst Farm, Sutton, age 73. I was born in Macclesfield. The old part of Macclesfield used to be Sutton on the old boundary. I was only born here because my dad's business was bombed out of Liverpool, and offered a shop in Macclesfield.
What was your father's business?
Hairdresser. Hairdresser. So for the first 21 years of my life, I lived on Cross Street. You probably don't know Cross Street. It's on the Leek Road out of Macclesfield. So I lived there till I got married. The age of 21, moved to Preston for 5 years, and then we moved back to Langley behind the chapel in there in Forest Drive. I'll skip forward then to 1994, I suppose. I was in the NHS then, in finance, and it was the umpteenth reorganisation. So I decided, well, it's time I can go now. Mm. Full pension. They were merging two regions into one, so somebody had to go. They gave me compensation and a full pension, so that was fine. Mm. Sadly, my wife died with breast cancer just before I retired, actually. I was 52 and she died at 51. So I've got two daughters and a son, and the middle daughter and her then partner, now husband, wanted to live on a farm. At this time I was living at Rossendale Lodge, which is the lodge to a Rossendale Hall, which is works with people with handicap. So I'd lived there 25 years, well, by the time I left I had. Anyway, they looked around for farms, and as you will jolly well know yourself, they couldn't afford to buy one anywhere in Cheshire or nearby. So, because I was on my own, I said, well, look, if you really are keen, I'm prepared to join in with you, and we could buy a farm together. So, because I was retired and local, I used to do quite a bit of walking in the area, and one day I was walking the footpath up just the top of the field here, and I spotted this place, and I don't know what it was, but it spoke to me.
Yeah.
And it looked as if it wasn't being used anyway. So I found out from local people who owned it, an old lady who's been living here as a widow for about 10 years, having lived here for probably 40 years before that. And I managed to contact her. As it happened, she wasn't living here. She was living with her daughter down in Macclesfield because she was quite ill. And she didn't respond to my letter immediately, but I pursued it, and I rang up one day, and they happened to be, it was a Sunday, I think, and they were here just visiting to make sure everything was okay. And we arranged to meet, met several times. Eventually she agreed that she'd sell us the place.
Right.
At which point my daughter and partner decided they didn't want to go ahead anymore.
Oh no.
But, being pig-headed, I decided I would anyway.
How big is the holding?
When I was buying it, it was 40 acres. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it always amazes me that anybody could make a living out of 40 acres. Mm. They milked cows and sold it. They didn't have continental holidays.
Right.
I mean, the day at the auction was their day out, and perhaps a show now and then was their annual holiday almost. Mm. Anyway, so I decided I'll go ahead. At which point, the old lady wasn't really ready to move out. But we agreed a price for the whole thing, and then we split it. So that I initially bought most of the buildings, most of the land, and bought a caravan, and I lived in the yard in a caravan for 4 years, while the old lady and myself got on together. She cooked, and I did the other thing, at which point I decided I'd buy some cows as well. I'm going to buy Aberdeen Angus, and we wanted pedigree, because we knew we'd get what we're getting, because I had no idea what I was getting, really. No. So we went down, the first auction was at Melton Mowbray, and we bought a few there. And then there's a couple of local people who kept it, Aberdeen Angus. One is at Pygree Farm at Langley. This is typical of farming, all the different advice. He would buy the most expensive he could and told you to do the same, you see. And the other chap, who was at Adlington, said buy the cheapest you can. So anyway, I bought some from both of them and made a herd, which I suppose was about 30 cows and followers by the time I finished. So I did that for 2 years. I was still single then, a widower, looking for a wife. Then BSE came along, which didn't help much, but it didn't really affect my cows. But I decided I couldn't really handle a herd of cows on my own. I mean, they were out all the time, but if you had to have the vet or the ministry wanted to check anything, you had to get them in. And you can't do that on your own, even with a bucket of coal. No. There's always one or two who don't come in, so.
Did you come to these cows then having no prior
experience
looking after cows?
Yeah.
Did you take it upon yourself to have any training from anywhere, or did you just
sort of... I read a lot of books.
Right.
Yeah. And listened to people. The trouble is, as I said, people all give you different advice. Yeah. In the end, you have to make your own mind up. So I decided it was getting too stressful. I couldn't really cope, so I decided I would sell. So I don't know if you know that the headquarters for Aberdeen Angus is at Perth in Scotland.
Mm.
So I decided that would be the best place. So we arranged a special auction, produced a booklet, and sold them. And in the event, it was wise to go to Perth because you get an extra premium for going to the right place, really. Mm-hmm. Other people sold in local auctions and that, and they don't get the same.
So you had a successful sale?
Oh, yes. I basically got back what I paid for the cows, which is pretty good when you think of what had happened in between.
Mm.
But because they were pedigree, one of the things I learned, and you probably know this yourself, it's all in the name. The best price I got was for a cow that came from the herd, and there was it Moors that ran Littlewoods or Vernon's, one of the pools anyway. He was in Aberdeen Angus, and this cow had his herd name, you see, made a good price. And I know it was the worst cow I'd got. And yet it go, because of its name, it produces the best price. So you live
the vagaries of the market, isn't it?
Yes, yes. So there were some useful experiences there. The first being, those first cows we bought at Melton Mowbray. Didn't think, of course. When did it calve? But in January, in the snow.
Yeah.
But they're hardy and they survive. You live and learn, don't you? Had a few mishaps on the way, but there you go. So, I sold up, that would have been in 1998, I think. I more or less started straight away in 96 when I moved here, and kept them for 2 years, and then sold in 98 or thereabouts. Initially, I did try and get in the countryside stewardship scheme, but they weren't playing ball because the cows were outside all year and they were trampling the ground, you see, so that was no good. But subsequently, in more recent years, I've into the entry level and then the higher level stewardship scheme. So I've been in that since 2007. Mm-hmm. 10-year agreement comes up in 2017. I foolishly, I suppose, let my tenant, who was a neighbour up at the top there, claim the single payment subsidy. He paid me a rent and he got the subsidy. So that more than paid the rent. So he was on a good thing there. Anyway, so now, the farm you came through, he's having the land now and put it there. He's only got five on at the moment. He's switching, changing all the time with different ones, but they're all Holstein, Friesian heifers, different ages, basically. So they'll graze it. It came in end of April. It's due to go out to the end of October. It might go out early if the weather's not up to it or whatever. Just depends.
So you haven't got any hay meadows?
No. It was 40 acres, as I say, when I agreed the purchase. Now then, in order to complete the purchase of the house and one remaining field, I had to raise some money because I hadn't got enough. But, as I said, I was looking for a wife and eventually I found one and she chipped in her share and that together. But even so, I had to sell the two meadows down at the bottom.
That we've driven through.
You've driven through. And another piece up the top to a lady who keeps a horse. So those two, that and the wife's money, allowed me to then complete the purchase. Mm. and the old lady eventually moved out 4 years after I first came here. And she actually moved into the house next to her son-in-law and daughter down in Macclesfield. So and we kept up a good relationship, and she died at the age of 93. Now, what more would you like to know? You want to know about my interest in wildlife and stuff or whatever? I mean, as I say, I'm an organic gardener. For my sins, I chair the East Cheshire Organic Gardening Group, which meets in Macclesfield on a monthly basis. I did the Cheshire Wildlife Trust Surveyors course a few years ago, and they've now sort of got me into doing wildlife, basically plant surveys in different patches that come along, and for different reasons they want to do a survey of them. But it's almost entirely based on plants, because you only go once for a couple of hours or so, and the chances of seeing much wildlife are not very good. I'm doing the same thing for this farm in much more detail, because I know all the wildlife and everything else about it. And the idea is that they then are designated as local wildlife sites. They're nothing like a national nature reserve, but there's some recognition that they have a wildlife value, and they're then recognised by the local authority, which is Cheshire East in our case. So hopefully some good comes out of it. The neighbours already in the scheme as well, which I didn't know, and in higher level stewardship, so that's pretty good. But of course we benefit from the fact that it's very hilly, and so in the past people didn't do much with it. They didn't do a lot of fertilising, they didn't do any ploughing. But I mean, the experience of the two meadows down there, I sold them to the neighbour who you came through. First thing he did was plough it all up and reseed it, and drain it as well.
How did you feel about that?
Sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Interestingly, it's still full of buttercups and dandelions, so I don't know whether they survive all that.
There'll be a seed bank, won't there?
In the land. Yeah. And although he sprays his nettles and his thistles every year, they still come back just the same. So, I don't see the point of it, really. But the patch I now own, which is 25 acres, the whole of England, I would normally describe as semi-natural, because it's all had something done to it. Most of this is semi-improved. Mm. Semi-natural is distinct from semi-improved. I'm just about getting my head round it. The flatter bit, I mean, they did make a meadow up. Well, the flattest bit up there, and you can tell the difference. I'm not sure if they reseeded it, but they certainly fertilised it, and so on, and you can see the difference in what's in that couple of acres that they fenced off. You know, it's got very few wildflowers in it. I have taken the fence down, but even after 10 years, it's still not showing much signs. It'll take a long, long time to recover, if it ever does.
So what are your observations about your piece and the surrounding area as regards, you know, what's important round here?
Well, you see, I'm untypical because my livelihood in no way depends on any income from the land.
Mm.
So I'm able to treat it in a wildlife-friendly manner. But I can understand that people whose livelihoods depend on it have a different outlook. They have changed the subsidies, as you know, so that they, instead of paying you for each head of cattle, as I was getting in 96 to 98, they then moved it on to an area, so much for either the farm or the area you actually look after. So I suppose in a sense that meant people could be less intensive in their stocking of the land.
Mm.
But I think old habits die hard, don't they? I mean, 1 year I let this neighbour put some sheep on, but he absolutely blitzed it, you see, and the next year there were no wildflowers either, because sheep eat right down, and if you've got too many. But there are differing views on that, you see. There's a chap who lives locally, works for Cheshire Wildlife Trust. He thinks sheep are fine. Natural England don't like sheep.
There has to be a middle way, doesn't there?
Yes, I'm sure there is. Yes, but I don't know what it is. I suppose if you have sheep one year and cattle the next, it does reduce the possibility of disease spreading, but I don't know how long these things lie in the ground anyway, so.
So what have you got valuable on here, you think, that's worth preserving?
Well, the mix of wildflowers, certainly. I've got a couple of flowers that I found are quite rare. Ivy-leaved crowfoot and meadow saxifrage. But I mean, you're talking about a patch of each, no bigger, less than the size of this room. But it's the actual diversity and the spread of it, isn't it? I mean, there are patches of quite wet areas. There's a mix. It starts as acid grassland at the top and becomes neutral when it gets to the bottom. It's quite strange, isn't it? My source of water, which they used to test quite regularly, not so often now, that's a pH of 6. Somebody from Cheshire Wildlife Trust tested my pond, which is at the bottom this year, and that was a pH of 8.
Which is very alkaline.
Yeah, so that's the difference within just the same holding sort of thing. It's quite amazing. But you can see that in the plants, that there's more acid up the top. I suppose mountain pansy is another one, which is right at the top. That only grows basically over 1,000 feet, but something like that. But there's a lot of that up there, which is very good. There's a load of gorse up there.
Not so good.
But there's plenty of diversity, you know. We could, when we walked around yesterday with my son, we saw two brown hares. I don't usually see two, but I usually see one. But there were two yesterday, so that's good. Plenty of rabbits. I'm feeding the pheasants all the time. Don't really. But there you go. I've been here, as I say, since 96. Never seen a live rat till this year. And then, blow me, they appeared. Finished up with 30 rats under the bird feeder. So I moved the bird feeder into a more open space. And that seems to have reduced. I'm sure they'll have just spread out. They won't have disappeared. Although they don't live forever, do they? But so there's only two under the bird feeder now. One or two elsewhere. But it's amazing how things can change so quickly.
Did you have that passion for the wildlife side of things when you first arrived here, or is that something that's developed as you've lived
well,
here?
Well, I've always been an organic gardener.
Right, yeah.
So I've always taken that interest, you know, but, no, I think it's in my genes somewhere. So with a name like Bullock, there must be some agricultural background somewhere. I mean, even as a child, I always fancied being a farmer. But of course, my father's view of that was it was a waste of education anyway, to be a farmer. So, I mean, in any case, I never, in my wildest dreams, thought I could ever own a farm of any size, because they're so expensive, aren't they, to buy into? Normally you inherit them, and that's how you become a farmer. It's just by, I don't know whether it's chance or guidance or what.
But weren't you? And, you know, you had an idea and you pursued it.
What threats do you see now? Do you see things changing?
Well, both of the neighbours are on the same track. Neither of them are full-time farmers. So there isn't a living to be made in the size of farms that they've inherited. The girl on the left, both father and mother have died. She's running the farm, but she also runs a business in Macclesfield Motor Factors. So that's their main source of income. The older man at the farm here and his wife have just retired into the bungalow. He still potters about. The son has taken over, but he's got another job with a firm of accountants, you see, which he works part-time. And his wife's a nurse. So this is the problem, isn't it?
So you see, like me, there's nobody to do all the little jobs to keep the countryside tidy and ticking over.
You've reminded me that as part of the higher level stewardship scheme, I didn't think quite as far ahead as I could have done, but I put in a whole lot of capital schemes. So I've done a lot of dry stone walling, hedge laying, dug a pond, bit of stone faced hedge bank. I got most of that done with a bit of financial help, but, and to please Natural England, cut down half of the gorse is, what is it? It's probably a hectare altogether. And I cut half of it down and I got paid £250 for all that. It took me 5 years. Not full time, obviously, no, but no. You know. So it's not for the money.
But like the walling and that.
Yes. Well, that's a bit more.
Without financial input, it's not going to be restored, is it?
No, because that was a whole winter's job at a time, and for several winters, you know.
Yeah. And you did that yourself?
I went on a 2-day course, was it, run by a lady in the Peak District?
Sally Hudson.
Could have been.
Yeah.
But of course, that... You go up there and you do this bit of walling, and stones are almost like house bricks, lovely. You come back here, some of the coping stones, I've had to get the tractor out to lift them, quite different, you know. Mm. But there's something to show at the end of it, isn't there? I'm not convinced about Hedge Lane, to be honest. I've done quite a bit of it, but you lose all the flowers and berries for a year or two, to some extent. You do the hedge lay and you fence it both sides. Now, I know why you fence it, but...
You've been tasked to ask people what they think about the future and what do they see challenges being.
Oh, right. Well, I'll tell you about the future. In order to ensure that the protection lasts on what I've got left, I have left in my will all except one field to the Cheshire Wildlife Trust, so that they will be responsible for managing it. I don't know if you know, but they've seriously reduced their own involvement in keeping cattle and whatever at Cheshire Wildlife Trust. So I said to them after I had this bad experience last year, you might as well take it over now. You're going to have to do it in the future, you might as well. And then I discovered that, in fact, that all they would do is then find somebody else to graze it because they weren't doing it anymore themselves.
Yeah.
As part of their umpteenth reorganisation, they were slimming down again. Hence, I found my own tenant locally. But that then gives rise to an argument with my daughter who wanted to buy the farm in the first place. If you do that, you're stopping anybody else like you in the future having the fun.
I suppose they could let it on a tenancy, couldn't they?
Well, they would anyway. You see, I don't see that's a problem because Cheshire Wildlife Trust would love to have somebody in this farm in the future who is sympathetic and wants to do things with the land. They'd be delighted, absolutely delighted.
So that could actually be an opportunity.
Oh, yes. It wouldn't stop anybody doing that if they wanted to. You see, what will happen, I would expect normally, is somebody who works in Manchester with plenty of money will buy it and convert it. Possibly convert the outbuildings.
Big extension.
Whatever, yeah.
4 cars.
I mean, I could make a small fortune letting the buildings to horses and their owners. But I didn't come here to be surrounded 24/7 by other people. No. But there you go, you know.
Have you loved being up
here?
Oh,
yeah, definitely. Yeah.
It was a good move.
Oh, yes.
Would you have kept the cows if you'd had some help with them?
Yeah.
You enjoyed that side of it.
Yeah, sure. Yes, I mean, if I'd been married for a second time at that point, and my wife had wanted to get a bit involved, I mean, all you'd done is getting the cows into the building every so often, you know, that would have been fine. Mm. But it was just the stress of thinking, I've got to get them in next week and I have to get somebody to help me. I mean, I didn't mind going round the field at midnight with a bottle feeding in some horrible weather, but it has made me realise that farmers are not as lazy as I thought some of them were. Although some do more than others, don't they? You go to some place, everywhere's neat and tidy and things are done, and the opposite is some other places. Yeah.